Dr. Dan, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Dale. I really appreciate that. Now, mobility is something that I personally have dealt with as well. I don't know who hadn't at some time. They've had some problem that has caused them problems. I'm 74 now, and when I was 17 years old, I started doing what is called Olympic weightlifting, where you see how much weight you can press over your head. I started doing that when I was 14, and I was competing against a kid down in El Paso, Texas, that was the same age I was until I could beat him. I couldn't find not many kids were lifting weights. In fact, I was a weightlifting coach for my high school because the coaches, when they went to high school and college, were told that if you lift weights, you get so muscle bound you can't walk. You wouldn't be able to play football or any sport. So they didn't know anything about it. So the kids went to the coaches and said, have Dan teach us how to lift weights. So I did, and I'd write out the routine and everything. It worked well. But I injured myself, a combination of football and pressing more weight over my head than I could lift off the ground. Because that was the part that I enjoyed and why the spine is still developing. I herniated some discs, and I was in a great deal of pain. I didn't play football my senior year in high school because my lumbars, I had some herniated discs. I ended up teaching. They talked about surgery, and I didn't want to have that done because my local doctor limped from back problems, and he was a surgeon, but he wouldn't let him operate on his back. And I thought, if he wouldn't, I'm not going to. And I ended up inventing my exercise equipment so I could work out hard without injuring myself, and it ended up rehabbing me. And then later on, I was told by the orthopedes that I worked with that what I had developed was the best thing they'd ever seen for orthopedic rehabilitation. And so this has been very important. And I was associated with a lot of the top experts in the world, not only in exercise, but in rehabilitation because of what I invented. People that I would read about are all of a sudden now seeing me as a peer and are quizzing me on how I came up with the concepts that I did. And so I want to be able to share that with you. It's been a long, ride. Nutrition had been always a big part of it, but it became a central part when I started radio back in 97. And nutrition is a part of the rehab, as we're seeing the effects from Restore and Rejuvenate Jail. Supplements can be extremely powerful, and there's other things that are really good in that area. But we have to move. We have to send our body through a range of motion. I was watching something just a couple of days ago about in Asia, people sit down on their heels. Their butt almost touches the ground, and they'll sit around and talk to each other for a long time that way. They go to the bathroom that way. We sit in chairs. And I know that during the pandemic, they shut down my gym. I had gotten rid of my home equipment because I had free access to the gym, so I had all the equipment I could want, and I didn't think I needed it. Then all of a sudden, the gym shuts down, and I can do some basic exercises and some good routines here at the house, but I'm sitting on my butt so much. You're not supposed to go out and talk to anybody. It didn't stop me. I mean, a lot of my friends were not as crazy as the general public was. We're not afraid like the general public was, but still it's very limiting. And I started having hip problems. I decided I'd go and walk around the lake, which is just half mile from where I live. And my hips were hurting me, and I thought, God, I'm going to have hip operation. I couldn't walk very far with my hips not being in a lot of pain. If I walked through the pain, it didn't bother me. I could get where I could walk. But I was really having trouble that way. So I was doing some different exercises. I came up with an exercise for me that is basically a series of about 25 real deep squats, again, where my butt's coming down and touching the ground. But when I come up, I'm pulling on these straps, so I'm pulling my shoulder blades together. So I'm also correcting the tendency to sit in a chair and lean forward. So I'm working on the posture and working on the hips all in one movement. And it made all the difference in the world. I got back to where my hips don't bother me anymore. You can correct things if you know what you're doing. And there's a lot of good programs. They're even telling people, which is different than what we told people 20 years ago. We used to say, don't do any kind of squat where your knee goes out in front of your toes or overstretches the patella tendon, you know, where your kneecap is on both ends. Now, one of the therapies is real deep squats, actually applying what they naturally do in Asia and India and places of that sort. They naturally do that. And it's probably how we always naturally sit when we're in ancient times. And so that range of motion is so important. It also straightens out the low back. It curves the pelvis under and straightens out the low back. And then when you come back to the low back, if you have an arch in your low back, like generally it's supposed to, it's gotten relief. And it allows the vertebrae and the disc, it allows the disc within the, between the vertebrae to breathe a little bit. The other thing that happens is I learned this when I was first inventing my equipment. I was doing research on it. There was a man named Dr. Burkett from Arizona State University. And he had a side business working with pro teams, doing tests on their players and predicting when their knee was about ready to go out. And so he did this by putting a person on a leg extension machine where you sit down, you put on the plates, and you take this pad that's down on your ankle, and you extend the string. He said, you should have a 2-to-1 strength ratio. So if a person could leg extend 100 pounds, they should be able to leg curl 50 pounds. But if they could leg extend 150 pounds and only leg curl 50 pounds, that means a 3-to-1. He said their knee is no longer stable. And under stress, it will go out. And so I realized how important that muscle balance is to stabilize the joint. Just like if I have a TV tire, we have some huge TV tires not far from where I'm at. If a couple of those cables are a little bit loose, don't have the same tautness that the other cables, they don't have to be gone. They can just be a little slack in them. And now when the wind blows, it starts creating stress at the bottom of where the TV tire inserts, you know, is down on the base. Well, that's the same way with our body. If we have an area that's not balanced, then the joint is going to go out. So sitting in a chair all day, slumping forward, what does that do? You have the muscles in the front of your body, your pectorals, and that you don't see that, like the pectoral minors, and you actually have intercostal muscles between the ribs that help with the breathing or the deflating of the rib cage. So your next breath, when it relaxes, you can take in more air. Those little muscles, as well as the big muscles, are what they call major movers. Like if I'm curling a weight, my bicep is a major mover. But there's the muscles that hold the elbow against the ribcage, like the teres major and the latissimus dorsi, the pectoral minor. Those are stabilizers. Those have to be in play too. And they're synergistic muscles that help with the movement. There's a muscle that goes from where under the bicep and comes, it goes from around where the bicep is and around the bottom of the forearm or underneath the bicep, the brachioradialis and the brachius muscle. Those are synergistic muscles. You can have one of those factors out, and now things don't work. There was a young kid that I was rehabbing when I was making a living as a physical therapist that was a swimmer, and I think he was 16 years old. He was a really good swimmer. But he had got where he couldn't swim anymore. He couldn't lift his shoulder, his arm above his shoulder, and without extreme pain. And they had sent him to the Children's Hospital Physical Therapy Department, and he had been under there for months and months and still could not get back. And the kid had a chance for a scholarship as a swimmer. And so the orthopedes sent him to me, and I didn't know when I first went into it, because I'm not a physical therapist. I'm an exercise physiologist. But they would send people that failed in other forms of therapy, and I kept getting them back. And people would be telling me, oh, I've been going to therapy for months. And then I would do some things that they couldn't do on land, that I could do in the force field, resistance field of water. If I amplified that, I could work in directions you couldn't work on land. And like I took this kid, had him turn his palms up, go straight out and circle back. Go straight out, circle back, and then do little circles, clockwise and counterclockwise. A wide variety of different motions I use. And by using a wide variety, I was reminding certain muscles that have gotten lax through the swimming motion where you let the shoulder blade stretch out as far as you can so you can reach out and make the longest, stroke you can with your hand. Well, after, swimming for hours a day, after a number of years, that shoulder blade gets too relaxed. When the shoulder blade is relaxed, there's a socket on the end of the shoulder blade where the ball at the end of the humerus bone rotates within there. And there's a ligament connection that holds that together, but there's also little muscles in there that hold that together. Well, the shoulder blade has to be able to hold back. So there's a muscle that runs around the rib cage called the thoracics that holds the bottom of the shoulder blade down. And then there's the rhomboids that are underneath the trapezius muscles that holds the shoulder blade towards the spine, as well as the trapezius. And there's a number of different muscles involved in this. Well, if one of those is not doing its job, now when the ball tries to rotate in the socket, it impinges. So all I did was work all these muscles in different directions. And the first workout, he could raise his arm above the shoulder. It still hurts some, but he could raise it above. After so many weeks of working with him, he was back to normal. And I had to stop and think, what are those physical therapists doing that and not getting results that I'm doing that is getting results? One of the things, I'm first using an environment that has no, that doesn't use the line of gravity. And by that, when everything pulls down a straight line, it's very easy to get a joint out of place. If you don't do something just right, which is what I did when I was a kid, I was doing bent over rows, but I wasn't doing it with my back flat like it should have been. And I herniated a disc. In football, I herniated the low back. I don't know what I did there. I just knew the next practice I couldn't get into my stance. I couldn't bend over into where your hand's touching the ground. All that can be redone. I rehabbed myself, and then I learned how to rehab other people. When I worked the knee, I would work at different angles. Now, that's enough talking about that because a lot of you are not dealing with those kind of problems. You may be dealing with you're sitting on your butt all day. You need to have something at home that you can do some exercise in, whether it's a treadmill, a stationary bike like what I picked up a few months ago. Something that you don't have an excuse to say the weather's bad, I can't go out for a walk, I can't do whatever, our bicycle. You don't want an excuse to stop you. And there's nothing wrong with calisthenics. You can, and people that can't say, well, I can't do a push-up. Yeah, but you can get up next to a door or a wall, stand 2 feet away from it, and push yourself as many times as you can. If you stand back 3 feet and put your hands on the wall, now you put more resistance. You can start with that. You can take your sink and lean forward and push down and push yourself away from the sink. Now you're working your triceps. And so you're working the back of your arms. And you can grab a hold of something that is stationary, like, I have some stairs over here, and contract it. Or you can just contract your biceps and triceps right now. Just contract your arms as tight as you can, where when you try to move them, you can barely move them. You're keeping tension on that. Or you put your hand on your wrist and press your arm against your hand and push down on your hand at the same time. That's old Charles Atlas's whole routine. It's called dynamic tension. You can take your hands and push them together. They used to sell stuff like that claiming women would put on all this size of the breast. It's a total scam. But they can build the pectoral muscles a little bit underneath the chest. And you can put your hands up on, like, where I go up my stairs or a doorway, up above yourself, and contract. Also, it's a good idea to suck your stomach in and then let it out. Suck it in while you're stretching like that. In fact, when you're stretching, let's say I have a place here, sometimes I'll put my hands against one wall and up against this pose, and I'll stretch through as far as I can. Then you take a deep breath and blow it out, and you'll find you can stretch further. Take another deep breath, and you can go further. Another way you do it, let's say I'm wanting to stretch my hamstring, the back of my leg. I put my leg up on the stair. I lean as far forward as I can, and then I contract it for a count of six. And then I relax it, and I stretch further, and I contract it again for a count of six. And then I do that again. I saw Dr. Hatfield. He used to be the strongest man in the world, first man to squat with 1,000 pounds, and at a weight of 225. So he squatted with four times his body weight. He took this big bodybuilder, and we were doing a workshop, and I was one of their teachers down in, I think we were in Austin or San Antonio. I think we were in Austin. And this bodybuilder is probably 260 pounds, probably about 6'2". And Hatfield said, come up here and put your, get down where you're, like you're trying to touch your toes. Well, when the guy tried to touch his toes, he was only about, a foot beyond his knees. He needed, but it's maybe not that far. He still had about a foot to go to touch his toes. So I guess he's only about 8 inches beyond his knees. So Hatfield put his knee into the guy's back. He said, now push back on me. And the guy pushed as hard as he could for a count of six. And he said, okay, now relax. Now I'm trying to touch. Well, now he went out another 4 or 5 inches. And then Hatfield put his knee against the guy's back again. He said, or put his hands there and said, push back towards me. And he, now he could reach out and touch his toes. He could reach past his toes. That's called strength stretch. Typical stretching like they do in yoga is passive stretching. In a way, it makes the joint weaker when you do passive stretching because around the muscle fiber, you got nerves, preparatory nerves that wrap it. And it's totally aware of how far the muscle is stretched. And it knows what the muscle's past stretch ability is. And so it tries to stop it from going past what it is used to. So what you do is you put it in the stretch position, and then you contract that muscle as hard as you can and for a count of six. And now you're fatiguing that muscle, that nerve fiber that spirals around the muscle like a spring that measures the length. And now with its fatigue, it will allow you to stretch further. Well, and you can repeat that usually three times. And you can stretch. Someone that's not flexible can become flexible. It also, though, it strengthens the muscle in the stretch position. When you do passive stretching, like in yoga, where you just stretch out and hold it for 45 seconds to a minute, the muscle doesn't have what they cross fibers, where the strength of the muscle and the movement of the muscle comes from, at the very end points. So it's really weaker. But this way, it actually becomes stronger at the very end points. So that is very, very important. Now, learning new skills, taking dance lessons, doing something that you're not used to, programs the brain with new ability and creates new neurological pathways for that movement. So you may be really good at one thing, and so you go try to do something else. I remember in junior high, my buddies and I got into juggling. And, you know, we could juggle a reasonable amount. And then I tried it again a few years later. I couldn't juggle anymore. I'd have to work at it to regain that skill. I grew up, even in grade school, doing rock and roll. And people used to say, God, you're a really good dancer. Well, that was the main form of entertainment when I was a little kid in a small Oklahoma town. So I thought I'd go take West Coast swing dance, just something to do on during the week. I wasn't very good at it because it was different. My brain had to be trained for the new skill. So you have to be trained for that. And you can be in very good condition for one type of movement and not good for the other type. And I've talked about this before. When I was about 34 years old, I know I wasn't married to my ex-wife yet. I think we were living together at that time. I was reading something on weight loss, on exercise versus weight loss. And it said walking it was like 300 calories an hour. Running was 600 calories an hour. Walking may be a little bit more than that, but running was 600 calories an hour. And walking upstairs was 1,100 calories. And I went, okay, what happens if I run upstairs for an hour? Well, I couldn't run upstairs for an hour. At first, I could only do it for 15 minutes. I was 35 at the time. And but over a period of a few months, I could run the bleachers up and down for an hour. It was really hard, but it was very, very effective. And but now I dream of doing that. But what surprised me is I thought I'd go run a couple miles. I couldn't run 3/4 of a mile because my calf was not in condition to rotate from the toe up to the heel. I had to condition it for that. Though stepping on the bleacher or on the stair, I'm stepping with a flat foot. That when it really dawned on me, when they talk about sport-specific condition, you can be in condition for one thing and it won't show on another. You could be a great swimmer with a great cardiovascular ability, but it doesn't mean you can go out and run, or you can be a great runner and can't swim. You have to condition for that. Dale, I take it that it's time for me to open up the question.
Yeah, Dr. Dan, we're about 25 minutes in.
If you're a regular listener show, you've heard me talk about the Alter Mito Restore product. Just a phenomenal product because of this XDS technology. And you've heard the interviews and the way it's changing people's lives. Same thing with the Rejuvenate Gel. We're having miraculous effects with that. So if you want to get a hold of this product, and I recommend everybody do it, and get it for your friends and family, go to moremito.com/RadioDan. Read about it, study it, listen to the testimonials, and take advantage of it. And call this phone number, 509-593-3300.
I see two hands up right now, Dr. Dan. Why don't we start with Sherry out of Rockford, Illinois. Sherry, go ahead and ask Dr. Dan your question.
Yeah, Sherry.
Hi, Dr. Dan.
Hey, Sherry. Are you the same one I talked to on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were local here in Oklahoma City.
Okay. So I asked on the previous call about applying Rejuvenate to the chest and the back for respiratory and for cardiac issues. Can you weigh in on that?
Well, Dale is currently outside, and so I can hear a lot of air noise. Dale, or something you got going on, Dale, that sounds like a wind blowing in your mic.
We'll take care of it. Did you hear the question, Dr. Dan?
About rubbing it on her chest and back. Is that what you asked her?
That is what I asked, if you feel that would be affected, since it, seeps into the mitochondria. It would seem to me, I was just thinking about this the other day, and I've never heard anybody mention it. But I thought, well, then why wouldn't you be able to do that, and why wouldn't that be effective?
Well, if you wouldn't have asked me until I found some people doing that, I would have said, no, I don't think it would go that deep. But apparently it does. Somehow it does transfer. And now, do you have a problem in that regard or someone you know?
I have a grade 2 systolic dysfunction, diastolic dysfunction, which is cardiac failure. And I've been taking the Restore, but I don't think I'm taking enough because I'm taking 4 milliliters a day.
No, I would take like three times a day. And do that for a while. But I'm going to recommend a couple other things for you.
Okay.
And now, what's your blood pressure?
My blood pressure is really good with the help of medication. Last night it was, let me see. My doctor wants me to have it like around 130 over 80, I believe he said. And mine was better than that. I'm sorry?
Okay. Okay. Well, that helps a little bit to get that information. But I'd like you to be able to do it without the blood pressure medicine. Usually people don't like when the blood pressure medicine makes them feel.
I would love it. Last night it was 127 over 78.
Okay.
But that's with medication, of course.
Well, you've heard me talk about colostrum 6 that you can find on Amazon.
Yes, and actually I just got a bottle of that, but I got the capsules.
It's okay. Capsules are great.
Okay.
You get a little bit more for your money by taking the powder form.
Okay.
Capsule. Whenever you buy capsules, folks, which and some people like the taste of colostrum, I do, but some people, the owner, he prefers to take 10 capsules a day. And that's okay, too. But capsules take up some room, you know, you put in a bottle, so you lose a little bit that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it 5 twice a day or 10 at one time, but take it, and the growth factors are going to help strengthen your heart. I like nitric oxide products to lower blood pressure.
You do?
And, beet powder's not bad, but I feel these others a little bit more. That you go to any good health food store, whether it's Sprouts or Natural Growth or Vitamin Shoppe, and look for nitric oxide products. They'll have citrulline and they'll have arginine and another form of arginine in there. But what I don't want in there is caffeine. I think nitric oxides with caffeine make you feel like you have a better workout. Oh, your blood vessels are wide open, and caffeine normally constricts your blood vessels. Well, this, it's not a good combination because I'm worried about overstressing the adrenal glands. So the nitric oxide product, but just, you know, look for the one that doesn't say any caffeine in it.
Okay.
And there's plenty of good ones out there like that. And then magnesium is important for the heart. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
They say 80% of us are deficient in magnesium. Very, very good. But I think for blood pressure, malate might be even better. M-A-L-A-T-E. And malate comes from apple cider vinegar. But it relaxes the muscles. So when you have, if you have tension, it's also important in muscle cramps. Malate's very good. But the other thing about it is it relaxes the lining of the arteries, so the blood vessels are more flexible. Now, MK7, we have it in Restore. In fact, I got Roger and Dr. Elliott to put it in there. It usually goes hand in hand with D3, and MK7 helps pull the calcium out of the arteries. It's a form of vitamin K, but some vitamin K thickens the blood. MK7 does the opposite. It helps clear up the blood. Nanokinesis helps pull out the fibrin that builds up in the blood and makes the blood vessels less flexible. And nanokinesis comes from fermented soy. But I used it when I hate to say this, I had to take the Johnson & Johnson shot, or I couldn't take my younger sister out for lunch and help her get groceries and stuff on Sunday when she's in a nursing home. And so I thought, well, I just have to take this once. It caused me all kinds of problems. I don't have the problems anymore. But nanokinesis is one of the things I use to get rid of it. A lot more Restore was also one of the things. And fish oil, omega-3 oil, or eat salmon, wild-caught salmon. Be sure it's wild-caught. I don't care if it comes in a can. But as long as it says wild-caught Alaskan salmon, then you don't have to buy the real expensive stuff. But not farm-raised. Farm-raised, I bought some farm-raised from Sprouts. I mean, they have one of the things they have in their deli is salmon. I'm looking at this salmon doesn't even have lines in it. They use a grill, you know, like a grill press to make it look like lines, but it's a fake line.
Oh, my God.
And so that stuff is definitely farm-raised. Good salmon has wide, fat lines. Where Dale is up there in Washington, the salmon he would pick up in the market has the gray-white lines in between the red salmon, red meat there. Farm-raised has those, but they're usually thin. So they don't give you as much omega-3. But I take cod liver oil. I take Nordic Naturals and some other companies that have real good cod liver oil. And I like Nordic Naturals, I take their extra or their ultimate.
That's what I take.
So, okay. Very, very important for the heart. But if you ask, I know I'm going too long here, Dale. Okay. But magnesium, the other thing you can take that is, folks, when I'm saying these, all these things I'm saying also probably applies to you. So this is not an answer of just one person. The other thing that will bring oxygen to your heart on top of the Restore is cell food. Hawthorn berry will to a degree, but it's a little one-ounce cell food. I think you can buy that on Amazon. And you put 8 drops in a glass of water 3 times a day, work up to 20, 25 drops. Just don't use a metal spoon. And so I don't need to repeat this each time I talk to you guys. I want you all to be aware of that will generate oxygen out of the water in your body by splitting the H2O bond. And that will bring more oxygen to your heart, which will also help it rehab and strengthen. But you got quite a few things we can do. By the way, I do private counseling. And I don't do as a lot because I got a lot of other projects I'm working on. But I still will be glad to work with you guys if I'm saying too much. For you to grasp. So you can get a hold of me. Dale will tell you how to get a hold of me, or you can go to my website, danshealthtalks.com. And at the bottom, you'll see the my phone number and email address, Dan's Health Talks. Okay, Dale, I guess we need to go on to the next.
Thank
Dale,
you, Sherry. Yep, let's move on.
Okay, Dale,
let's move on to Jill.
You're making a lot of noise in the background, like there's a wind behind you.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. Jill, can you hear us? Go ahead and ask Dr. Dan your question. I've unmuted your line.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
I hear you great. Go ahead.
Excellent. Good morning, Jill. Hi, Dr. Dan. I have a quickie. I'm a newbie. It's 11 days in, and I'm a Parkinson's patient right now. But the question I have is when I take the Restore in the morning, which is about 2 milliliters after I eat breakfast, I feel nauseous, and sometimes it comes and goes throughout the day. Do you think that's from the amount I'm taking or just from a side effect of the Parkinson?
You're taking medicine for your Parkinson's, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I take the levodopa, carbidopa.
Yeah, I wonder if it detoxes you on that medicine a little bit. But let me ask you this. When you eat, do you feel nauseous?
No, I do not. I feel better when I do.
Okay. Can you mix the Restore into your food?
Sure. Sure, I could do that.
Let's try that and see if that doesn't make it a little bit more palatable.
Very good. I will do that. And 2 milliliters into the food?
But eventually I want you to work up 2 milliliters 3 times a day.
And that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I do 2 milliliters 3 times.
My mother used to have to put a one-a-day vitamin in mashed potatoes to be able to take one. And I can fill a glass about an inch high with vitamins and just start downing them with water and down it, you know, take 5 or 6 vitamins at a time. People are different in the way they have to figure out how to do things. But Restore works just fine with food or without food. So I think that should work. Now, the other thing is get that colostrum if you haven't already, because
okay.
we have when I used to do radio with them, there were people with Parkinson's that did really well with that colostrum because of some of the immune factors and growth factors that are in it.
And how would you take that, 1 teaspoon or colostrum?
It's
on the bottle?
Heaping teaspoon once or twice a day. And
okay.
Or capsules, whichever is easier. And that you can take with the food, too, if that for any reason, I don't know why it would, but for any reason caused you some problems, you could take it with your meal and stuff.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Okay.
Jan, for taking my call. Have a great day.
You too, Jill. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jill. Next is Shershaw.
Shershaw.
Go ahead, Shershaw.
Hey.
Good morning, Doctor. I'm calling on behalf of Thompson Sumeru, who is the ambassador, and he ended up into the hospital. What I didn't know is that he took from us some ibuprofen for his headaches, but he's bleeding right now, and the doctor said at the hospital that he has a tearing into the lining of the stomach.
Okay. Well, let me think a little bit on that. The Restore is going to help, but it that colostrum would help as well. Now, first thing, folks, drink water. Have a drink every 2 hours, 8-10 ounces of water or so. If the water levels in the stomach is low, he's more likely to get burnt from the stomach, from ulcers. His acid is going to burn the stomach. So I want him to drink water throughout the day and keep the fluid levels high in there. That's something I learned from Dr. Bangella's books, The Many Cries for Water. And a low-carb diet, believe it or not, is good for ulcers. Bread and starch and sugar dries out the lining of the gut. And the mucus lining and the mucus itself protects us against stomach acid. And so we have to keep that up. Now, Slippery Elm, now N-O-W is the name of the company, has the cheapest I found in the powder form. And you can mix it into a drink. It wants to float on top, but I mix it in with, sometimes with fiber or some chocolate powder. And Slippery Elm also helps the mucus lining of the gut. So I always told people, oh, it's great because it's going to help you go to the bathroom. No, it's a lot more than that. That mucus lining is what stops the stomach acid from eating your stomach. So I would take that. I don't know if digestive enzymes would be helpful or not, but I normally would recommend that on digestive problems. I think that colostrum I recommend it would be helpful. So I think combination of Restore. Now, I know this sounds silly, and it surprised the heck out of me when the lady started telling us about the results, but take the Rejuvenate gel and rub it around the stomach. I don't know how it gets down in there like that, but that lady said she was having a lot of gut problems. She rubbed that around her stomach, and the gut problems were gone in just a few minutes. I went, wow, that's amazing. So do that. You can take even the Restore a little bit on your fingertips, rub that around, and then after it sits there for a few minutes, follow it with the Rejuvenate gel. See if that works. I'm always surprised at some of the things you guys come up with that I'm going, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that. But yes, it's certainly worth a try.
Should we increase the Restore?
I would spread it out over the day. How much is he taking?
He's taking 4 millimeter a day.
4 milliliters a day? Do 2 or 3 times a day. I started to find that I like to take it out through the day. Right now, I have some of the Alter Pet Life right next to me. Upstairs, I have the 3.0, So I take that in the morning. While I'm on the computer, I don't know why I like this pet life so much, but I take it. And it's a little easier for some people. Some people are irritated by the citrus oils that are very good against cancer, but can be a little bit irritating to some people. And there's a couple other things in there, too. And so the pet life, I don't know, I think it's a little, some people that can't take the 3.0 do better with the pet life, which is
What I discovered when I put the Resto in my mouth, if I keep it at least like 2, 3 to 5 minutes, it doesn't bother my stomach. If I drink it, by the way, I've got a little sting in the throat and a little sting in the stomach. So for the lady before who had a problem to drink, to take it without feeling nauseated, it could
have I'm glad you said that. I should have said that to earlier, that there's another benefit to it. Swish it around your gums. It's very, very healing to the gums. A few years ago, 10 years ago or so, I tried a CPAP mask, and I'm a mouth breather. So I would wake up in the morning, my tongue would be swollen, my mouth would be dry, and my dentist told me, I said, never in his life have you seen so much. A person lose so much enamel so quickly. It was like a wind blowing through a canyon all night and just pulling the minerals right off the edge of the canyon wall. Well, now I'm having a lot of dental work. I have a young dentist here that's in love with art. He's traded me some of my artwork for dental work. Well, that's a great deal. But I learned that most people, when they get older, get long in the tooth. That means their gums receding. I'm just the opposite. My gums are not receding. So he had to go in and laser around the so what he's doing there will look better and things will fit better. Well, eating, all of a sudden, I would get some bleeding in my gums while this was getting set up. So I found out that the Restore and the Rejuvenate Gel, really good for the gums. I already knew that Rejuvenate Gel was. But you're going to absorb more through the side of the cheeks than you will through the stomach. And you're going to do your gums a lot of good.
It feeds also the pineal gland, the brain, the memory.
I hadn't thought about that. It may do just that. But you would think under the tongue is the best absorption area. We used to be told that. But I've heard that actually the side of the cheeks are the best absorption area. So do that, and everybody do it that way. And she's right. Try to hold it for about 5 minutes, but you don't have to just let it sit there. You can squish it around because it's very good for that. And the dentist did tell me about 5 years ago, I went to a dentist, and they said, well, you're starting to get a little porous in your bone. This dentist said, you have the strongest teeth, strongest bone that I've ever seen, that I have to do this just right or you'll be able to snap anything I put in there. And so using this product, because I haven't used colostrum in a long time to speak of, just a little bit every so often, has really strengthened my bone density. So you're getting 2 for 1. You're absorbing. You're making your bone density stronger, and you may be right. It may go into the brain better, too. I don't know. There's so much that this product does that just amazes me, folks. It really does. Okay.
Thank you, Shirshaw. Next, we've got Jill. Jill, I believe, is in Kirkland, Washington. Let me get you unmuted. Go ahead, Jill.
Thank you. I have a friend with tinnitus or tinnitus, whatever way you pronounce it. And he's been trying many things on the market. And of course, we've learned that it's in the brain, not in the ear. And I'm just wondering if we have experience with having that taken care of.
Yeah, by accident. I mentioned on a call a while back, and I was talking about balance, how the inner ear gets off. Your balance is a number of different things. The fluid in the inner ear, it sort of knows where you're at by way that is where that's setting in the ear. The brain registers that. But also the hairs in your inner ear. And so that has an element to it. And so someone was talking about balance, and I said, pat behind the inner ear. Pat behind the ear. Usually, if you go to a doctor with balance problems, they'll have you lay down and take their fingertips and start lightly tapping right on that bone behind the ear. And that helps get the fluid and the crystals that are in that fluid. That's all part of the registering going on back. And I learned that from a lady that had real balance problems going on, vertigo, that was taking my exercise class, and that's what the doctor had. That works. I also said rub rejuvenate gel behind your ear. If you want to, you can put it in your ear, but be careful. You don't want to do anything to your eardrum, but just right inside. But put it behind the ear and rub it in there, well, and down between the jaw and the ear. Well, they thought I said that for tinnitus. I didn't. I was talking about balance. But the lady that had tinnitus said, yeah, her tinnitus went away. I did that when he was talking about it. I went, okay, here's another one that surprised me. So try that.
Okay.
Put the rejuvenate gel behind your ear. Tap behind it or take a spoon. I sometimes, if I hear a little bit of ringing or something, I'll take a spoon and tap back there and do that a little bit. But try it. See what happens.
Okay, we will. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care,
Jill. Last but not least, it looks like we've got Michael in Arizona. Michael, I've unmuted you. Go ahead and ask Dr. Dan your question.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking the call. Question is regarding strengthening of teeth. Would you recommend your thoughts on Spell Food Silica specifically for strengthening teeth? And if so, how would you use it?
Both of them are good. The Spell Food helps with bone density as well. You would put it in 6 ounces, 8 ounces of water, swish it around, and then swallow it. Swish it around. Silica lays down the matrix that the minerals like calcium, magnesium, and the major minerals attach itself to. It's like a net, and so it's very important for ligament elasticity, for skin quality, for hair, nails. The lining of your blood vessels. The best way to absorb silica that I know of is through Spell Food Silica. Something about the way the Spell Food product works, it helps get it in. The silica is very hard to absorb. Another one they use sometimes for silica is horsetail. You can buy that in any health food store that sells herbs will have horsetail. But I think Spell Food Silica does a better job. And I've seen it rebuild a lady that had 25 operations, and they had to freeze her hands and arms, had rheumatoid arthritis. And she was in her early 50s, had no padding on the bottom of her feet. And the padding came back within 9 months and got a tremendous result from the silica. We used to talk about that on the radio back in the late 90s when I first started talking about Spell Food. And so it would help. That colostrum that I talk about, pack it around your gums. That dentist has told people that they've come in and seen people's gums, the x-rays before and after, they're getting better bone density. But I'm getting it from the Restore, a swish in the Restore around. I wasn't trying to get that. I was just trying to absorb the Restore through the side of my mouth and didn't want to swallow it. If I forgot about it, I might swallow it. So I wanted to keep it clear for a little while. And as that dentist told me, you know, here at 74, he said, you have the strongest jaw that I've ever seen. I went, that's surprising. So let's take advantage of that, folks. Did that answer your question for you, Michael? Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, we had more calls a few minutes ago. And then a few people dropped off, and that's okay. We can finish this up now. But if you have a call, I don't have anyone holding right now. So you hit star five if you want to ask me a question. Okay, I got one from Wireless in Burlington, North Carolina. Who's in Burlington, North Carolina? Phone number ends with 4712. Hello, Burlington. You just clicked on. There you go.
Hello, Dr. Dan.
Yeah, who am I talking to?
This is Christopher Johnson.
Hey, Chris. Do you go by
Chris
or Chris?
Chris.
Okay. Okay, Chris, what do you got for me?
First of all, I just turned 50 years old in June of this year, and I'm kind of in good shape, but I've been told that taking turmeric is very good. I've been hearing a lot about turmeric, and I've been drinking and I've gotten used to drinking herbal teas that's mixed with turmeric, ginger root, and I guess metal root. And I was just wondering, What are the benefits of taking turmeric? Because I actually use turmeric in a cooking powder, and I was just wondering, would it help? You know,
well,
build my
health? Yeah. But let me give you some tips on that. Really, you want curcumin. That's a ingredient within turmeric, and it's very hard to absorb the curcumin out of the turmeric, or it's even harder to absorb curcumin. It's a very large molecule. And so there's a company here in town, UltraCur, ULTRA, and then the capital CUR. They probably make the best curcumin on the market. And it's used for inflammation. But when in India, they mix turmeric, and by the way, it makes a great salad dressing, with goat's milk. And the fat in the goat's milk helps the absorption of the turmeric. So if you're going to use turmeric, use it that way. You probably won't get much out of it. You just put it in a tea. And so mix it with some milk-based product or cream or something. And
what it is, I got the tea bags. I get it in the box. It already, the turmeric is already in the tea, and it comes in a tea bag.
Take it out of it, mix it, let's see what I was wondering if you boiled it first and then mixed it in, might be even more effective. Turmeric, where this all came from is they noticed that in India, people had low levels of heart disease and low levels of arthritis and Alzheimer's. And they tried to figure out what the ingredient was. Well, they use turmeric as a salad dressing and on meats and different things as a sauce, and they mix it with their goat's milk. And one of the health food stores, a really nice couple here in Oklahoma City, have a health food store called Omega Health, and they're from India originally. His wife is an RN that worked for the VA for many, many years. And I was in there one time, and they had that mixed in, the turmeric, which, by the way, is in mustard. They had that mixed in, and I said, God, this tastes wonderful. You ought to sell this, bottle this up and sell it. But to them, it was just something common that they all grew up with. But it's very good for the heart, the brain, for joint inflammation. It's very powerful. It's because it's anti-inflammatory. There's many other things that are anti-inflammatory. Restore has a number of ingredients in there that's anti-inflammatory. And that is the main thing. Now, I don't know if that answered your question. What was the rest of your question?
And also, I recently had a wisdom tooth to fall out, and I was just, and some mornings, I mean, in the mornings, I usually like wake up with like a little bad breath. I don't know if it comes, and I was just wondering what do I do with the product? Do I take the Restore and swish it around in my?
Yeah. You can also take the Rejuvenate Gel first or afterwards and rub it around on the gums. and over the top where that fell out. He just had a wisdom tooth just fall out.
Well, I guess it happened, what, maybe a year or two ago. I was going to pick up a scooter, and all of a sudden I felt it, and it popped out, and it's like no blood, no nothing. I'm like, that was weird. I'm like, no blood or nothing. It just came out. And
what did your dentist say?
I don't have a dentist here.
You need to get you one. I'm just amazed that it would come out that way without pressure or anything else. And I would have thought the least would bleed.
No, it didn't bleed.
I mean, it had to be under, you had a lot of inflammation that had pushed it up over a period of time.
Yeah, and, I think that.
And broke down the root where the root was not very sturdy. And then at the same time, the gum had to heal itself for you to pull that out without it bleeding, for it to come out without it bleeding.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. But, take the Rejuvenate gel, rub it around there, and also the Restore. If you ever get that colostrum would be real good for packing the gums with too. Not all at the same time. Do the Restore and the Rejuvenate gel, and then maybe later on pack with some colostrum. But the silica is good in that regard. That's a good question on that. Let's see, what else would I recommend? I wonder what your, do you have any acid reflux going on?
No.
Okay, good. I was afraid that while you're sleeping at night, you may be having that go on, and that can be very hard on the teeth and stuff. So if you don't have that, that's good.
And also, I eat a lot. I'm the type of person, I eat a lot of tuna, and I was just wondering, it would be better to eat the tuna in water or the tuna in vegetable oil? Because I've been told to eat the tuna in water.
No, vegetable oil. I prefer you to eat salmon. The tuna meat is not bad, but you know that it has a tendency to be high in mercury. Though a lot of people can handle the mercury okay, some people can't. But wild-caught salmon, you don't have that problem, or sardines. If you don't like the taste of salmon, find some seasonings you can put on it. I sometimes take my salmon, cover it with olive oil, and add mustard. I used to mix it with spinach that way.
Salmon is good. Yeah. I do eat salmon, but I don't eat it very often.
Try to eat it a couple times a day. A couple times a week, two or three times a week. It's very anti-inflammatory. Or take cod liver oil or salmon, or fish oil. Salmon oil is one that does come that way. But cod liver oil, the anti-inflammatory quality is really important for all of us. And so I got to take my
It's just as a kid, I was raised by my grandmother, so as a kid, I was always growing up to eat, tuna fish, she would mix it with mayonnaise, and I was just used to eating that.
I just finished that last night. I just bought a deal of tuna salad from Sprouts last night, and I didn't plan on eating it because I'd already eaten. And then I tasted some of it, and I ended up finishing the whole thing. I love tuna salad. It was great. Little celery and onions with mayonnaise or mixing that. I grew up with that too.
One thing I also add with my tuna is on my tuna sandwich, I usually put some spinach, put a couple of spinach on it.
Mm-hmm. I think spinach is a great vegetable. I love spinach. I think it's very, very good for you. In fact, if anyone can find red spinach, they're now starting to come out with it for nitric oxide. You see these advertisements for beets, but red spinach is much better form for nitric oxide. But I never seen it until recently. When I was going to come out with my own products, in my heart product, that was one of the key ingredients I was going to add. to it was red spinach. Where in hell do you get red spinach? I don't know. I mean, it just in its natural form. But I haven't ever found it around here at Sprouts or any of the health grocery stores.
I just had one more question, Dr. Dan.
This will be the last one. Go ahead, Chris.
My girlfriend, she suffers from alopecia, and I was just wondering if once I get the product, do you think that restoring and rejuvenate would help her with her alopecia?
Yeah, I do. I rub the put a little bit of Restore on the fingertips, rub it into the scalp real good, and then after that, follow with Rejuvenate after it's set there for a little bit. Yeah, it has the black seed oil and some of the other stuff, and really good for the hair and really good for the skin, and antiviral, antifungal, and antibacterial. Some of the olive leaf, olive oil, and black seed are known for that. And so I think it probably comes from a fungus, but anyway, it will help. Okay, I guess we're going to call it a day.
Thank you. No, we've got one more question. Dr. Dan Shearshaw has come back with something. Thank you, Chris. Those were phenomenal questions. Shearshaw, you've got one last question, it looks like. Go ahead and ask Dr. Dan.
Thank you for taking the call. Okay, 10 years ago, I broke my neck of the femur into pieces, and my wrist for 1 month, I could not walk yet. So, but when I put my foot on the ground, I noticed that my toes after the surgery became hammer, and now they become more like claws. Is there a solution for that?
Well, first of all, you're going to use a lot of Rejuvenate gel. Cross the top of your low back, cross the top of your pelvis, and then the outside of your hip joint, rub it in there. And then down the back of your leg and down the back of your calf. And then you can put it on your toes. So do that. There's also a spray called Block Pain or Stop Pain. It's Boswellia. And I found that real good to spray that area. There's also magnesium oil that you can buy that's, you can find it in a health food store. And rubbing it down the back of your leg and calf and around the toe will help relax those muscles and help soothe the joint as well. So using Rejuvenate.
I've been doing that, so I just keep going. That's good. Perfect.
Yeah, let's try it that way. Let's keep going. I used to have sciatica really bad, to a point that it actually tore my left calf. I have pretty good sized calves, and my left calf is probably an inch and a half smaller. But it was cramping. I mean, just constantly cramping. I got bit by 4 fiddlebacks or brown recluse, depending on what part of the country you're in, what you call them, and it caused inflammation throughout that leg. I stopped the poison without having to take any antibiotics. But I really had a horrible time with that. And those are some of the things I learned. There's a beautiful Chinese girl that actually cured it for me with a deep type of massage. And
also as a side effect of the surgery, that in the fall, it looks like the pelvis moves slightly towards the left leg, which creates in the groin area and in the front on top of the leg a lot of pain on my knee, and it also brought me a varicose vein, so something must be pushing on it.
Can you find yourself a good chiropractor or osteopath, DO, in your area?
Yeah, I can find.
Yeah, they usually can do wonders for that and getting that straightened up.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Okay, and you can turn them on to Rejuvenate and Restore, and maybe end up making money by introducing them to it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. We're going to go, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll talk to you again next week. Okay.